5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We have an issue which I just suspect is heading towards an inevitable end. The Bali Nine ringleaders, Maruran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan, their outlook appears bleak, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've already had Sukumaran's appeal for clemency rejected, and now we've got Andrew Chan's appeal currently before the Indonesian president, Joko Widodo. But already indications are coming out of Jakarta that they're going to knock that back, and it might be that those two men will be executed by a firing squad within a couple of weeks or two. Indonesia have just announced that they will execute six drug smugglers this weekend. Five of them are foreigners. They're from Brazil, Nigeria, Vietnam, the Netherlands. So it's highly unlikely, despite appeals by Julie Bishop, the foreign minister, in the last 24 hours for clemency, that they will let them go and keep them in prison for the rest of their lives.
We have a different view on this. I'm opposed to the death penalty. You believe in some cases it yep. should be imposed, and we've talked about this and debated it plenty of times here, but it seems to me if you've got a situation where people from a whole range of countries are being executed, and the situation here, as I understand it, is they're woken in the middle of the night, taken to a remote location and killed by a firing squad, that if there are people from all these other nations being executed, it's hard to imagine why you'd then say, well, in the case of these two, we'll spare them because Australia has this view on the death penalty, and we will accept that Australian view.
And when they say they're woken in the night and then taken and being executed, could you imagine anyone being woken up on the night of your execution anyway? You wouldn't go to sleep, would you?
No.
It'd be a terrifying prospect.
Matthew Goldberg's a criminal barrister. He's the president of Reprieve Australia. It's a not-for-profit anti-death penalty organisation. He has met with both of these men and their families. He's helped launch a petition overnight to try to save their lives. Matthew Goldberg's on the line. Mr. Goldberg, good morning.
Good morning.
This announcement from the Indonesian government, would you agree their prospects now appear pretty bleak?
Look, it's terrible news. But it's not news of an execution in Indonesia yet. The new president, Zakali, had said last year that there would be 5 to 6 people who would be executed before the end of 2014. And in fact, no one was executed in that time. While, as you say, that if people from a host of other countries were executed in Indonesia, then it makes far more difficult the argument that Australian citizens would fare any better. At the moment, no one has been executed, so there's still cause for optimism.
Matthew, as we've mentioned, there are five of them likely to be executed this weekend. What's your understanding of the process? Are they just taken away at night and then shot?
Yeah, that's my understanding. Ordinarily, it occurs at night. They're taken before a firing squad of a number of members of the Indonesian administration. They're shot at. There's a target that's placed across their heart, and they're shot until they're killed. That's the arrangement that's been in place. That's how the people have been executed in 2013 in Indonesia and in 2008.
Now, Matthew, you're against the death penalty, but there'd be a lot of our listeners today who would say that, well, these two knew that drug smuggling was punishable by death in Indonesia. They went ahead, particularly in the aftermath of the Chappelle Corby case, and they knew what the consequences would be. So why would we necessarily want to, you know, sign a petition and try and save their lives?
Sure. This is not at all an argument that they're not clearly guilty of the crimes that they committed. They are. But the argument for both Myron and Andrew is that they've exhibited really profound change and rehabilitation while they've been in custody. And that's happened slowly and over the course of many years. So both Myron and Andrew have contributed to the jail significantly. They've led the jail in terms of education for other prisoners. They've each embarked upon their own interests too. Myron's about to complete a fine arts degree through Monash University that he's been studying remotely. He's been painting portraits under the with the assistance of Ben Quilty, the Australian artist. Andrew's been studying a Bachelor of Theology, which is completed. He's about to launch a culinary certification program within the jail. So they've just spent years grafting, apologising, sharing their resources with other prisoners in the jail, doing everything that they can to make amends. So in those circumstances, there's just nothing good that's achieved by killing them. There's no benefit to the Indonesian people. There's no benefit to those within the jail who are otherwise subject to criminal sanction. There's no benefit to Australia or to them.
Julie Bishop has written to the Indonesian President Jokowi and asked or reinforced this notion of clemency. Yes. What else should the Australian government be doing then, in your view?
Well, there are a number of steps that the Australian government can still take. Writing is one step, it's not all that can be done. Representatives of the Australian government and the leader of the Australian government can go to Indonesia and they can ask humbly the President of Indonesia to grant clemency. Now, there have been reports of the formal rejection of Myron Sukumaran's application for clemency, but in Andrew's case, it has not yet been formally rejected. And because they have such a strong claim to clemency, if the President Jokowi in fact considered, as he's obliged to, specifically their cases, then there is still potential for clemency to be granted. If it were, for instance, granted in Andrew's case, if there were significant representations that were made by the Australian government personally, then the Indonesian system has regard to the principle of parity, of fairness between sentences of co-accused. So if clemency were granted for Andrew, well then clemency we would expect to be forthcoming in Myron's case.
But if worst case scenario, if clemency is rejected in the next week or so, how quickly could they be facing a firing squad?
It could happen very quickly. As you say, there are five or six people who have suggested, or it said pretty clearly, to be executed within days. If the application of Andrews was rejected and all other means failed, then it could happen within days.
What do you say to the families or to those people who have either lost children or relatives or who have had their lives ravaged by the drugs that these people were trying to traffic? What do you say to them in relation to these people? Because they would want them killed.
Well, I'd simply say, as anyone would, that the consequences of drugs are undeniably awful. And the result, the death of family members, of addicts, is tremendously stressful. It's just an awful, terrible consequence, absolutely, of the existence of drugs.
Yep.
And it's undeniable. But the killing of these young men will really just result in that same pain and hardship for their families. If listeners examine the way in which, in particular, Myron Sukumaran's mother has reacted to the news, it's just undeniable.
Okay. Matthew Goldberg, thank you.
Okay,
Matthew Goldberg, I asked that question because, we had Val on the line. Val lost a son through drugs. You've heard that answer, Val. What did you think?
Yes. No, I would make the law that strong that if you are caught with the drugs actually on your body, that you are executed within maybe 48 hours. No lawyers, nothing. We lost a son 15 years ago or more that cost us a fortune to keep him alive. The effect on the family, and even now.
Yep.
How old was he, Val?
Look, my son knew that if he got caught, he just got a smack over the hand. But you've got to bring it down. That's why Singapore have it easier. If these druggies knew they were going to be caught and killed within so many hours, I can guarantee there would be a big stop in the...
Well, the problem is, Val, these blokes knew that if they were caught, they're going to be executed, and they still did it.
Yes, but today, how long? Look at the years they've been there.
Because, well, you've got to have a legal process. You can't just, yes. You know, you've got to have a legal process.
Something's got, no, yep. They've got to make it yep. tougher. And I feel sorry for the parents yep. because look at all the pain that the mothers and fathers have.
Of course, they're going to go through as well. All right, thank yes. you, Val. That's the difficulty, isn't it? I mean, Val's saying, you know, they knew. Well, they knew, didn't they? It's not a deterrent.
13-13-32, where do you stand on this issue? Should those two Australian men now facing potential death squad over there in Bali, should they be saved?